I was talking to him about the compact. He said, you know,
he goes, just so you know.
Well, he saw something taking pictures of it, that's why.
Yeah, he goes, just so
that's
you know.
That's why he brought it up.
He said, apparently we'll take care of it. I said, all right.
Yeah, he buried a pipe coming across the old back road.
Did he? All right. Yeah, he said that they'll take care of it, so.
I trust Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he saw something taking pictures of it last week.
Yeah. So. I don't know which pipe it is. I just drove by, but I...
It's all the way up on the back road.
Yeah. All right.
Comes right down along Pocono Drive.
John, I had several, actually, conversations with the analyst that's handling the 2025 statewide grant application that we have that's still in play.
Okay.
And she asked today if we could get you to do one updated cost estimate for the whole project,
okay,
that includes contingencies on the whole project, and then for us to break it down in the priorities,
okay,
so that she'll be able to tell which pieces will get funded with the first two grants,
okay,
and which pieces will likely get held over for whether or not we have more money if we don't have enough, which I think the paving might be substantially more than the original estimates were, which were old.
Probably at the rate at which oil's rising, I'm going to say that that's probably a good bet.
Yeah.
Good bet, yeah.
I did want to ask you, Gary, those estimates only have the paving.
They actually said that even if the war ended tomorrow, it's going to be like 3 months to unwind the current built-in price. So, you know.
It goes up fast enough, but it doesn't
it
come back
really
down so
fast.
It goes
up but then coming back down, isn't it?
Goes up on speculation.
The estimates for the parking lot...
Up like a rocket, down
don't
like a
...don't have any striping. No painting.
No, it's everything.
Why?
Because last time, never did it. That was free.
It was free because our guys did it?
No, because Billy did it.
Billy.
Well, he's our guy, but he did it on his own when he was starting to get in the striping.
Okay.
We've never paid for it. We've never done it before.
Okay. So is it your expectation that we won't need to pay for it?
No, he'll probably do it again.
Okay. And there's no supplies that we need to buy or anything for him to do it?
No.
Okay. All right. In that case, then, I'm not sure there's any reason for us to apply for PMPB this year because they've changed the program and they're doing sidewalks. Unless we want to apply, we don't really, their deadline is this week, so I don't think we have enough time to do anything else. They're really trying to target parks.
Yeah, I saw that.
And sidewalks.
I saw that.
None of which is stuff that we have anything lined up to do.
Yeah, sidewalk.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't think that they will count our walkway as sidewalk, so I don't think that there's going to be anything there. If we were paving, if we were striping the parking lot, then I could see us putting in for the striping of the parking lot. But if there's no striping going to be necessary, then I don't think there's anything for us to do there. She did say to me, because in between when we filed this application and we were asking for like $160,000 because we only had 100 then, and now we've been approved for another $125,000, she said, is there anything else on the municipal facilities that we would like to add in to modify the application? Because they can't modify it on statewides after grants are awarded, but right now they can't. So because we were awarded 125 from someplace else, we could essentially come in with 125 of other stuff if we wanted to. And like I had to walk her through, like the first application where we got the 100 was only for the parking lot. And then the second application was for a whole bunch of additional things, but not for the roof. And then the last application, the one she's looking at, includes the roof as well. I wasn't sure what what little pieces would fit there, you know, what else might be potentially reasonable. And obviously, I think your updated estimate is probably going to show that the costs that are in that estimate are probably not current costs. But also, I don't know that the roofing estimate is the pieces that you didn't have your hands on before. Were the roofing and the carpeting.
Yeah.
And I don't think those estimates were done at prevailing wage either. And everything has to be paid at prevailing wage. So I suspect that those pieces are going to be extra more expensive than they were before. And they didn't have contingencies in them, because that's not how those estimates were done. But you can add contingencies in. So that's certainly, you know, one aspect. She's looking to have that back from us by the 12th. If we don't have it in her hands by the 12th, she can't turn it in by the 15th. And I'm guessing they're going to run with the Monroe County applications on the 20th, which is the next scheduled Commonwealth Finance Authority meeting, which is why they want to know this information before that meeting.
Okay.
Is there anything that wasn't on that last round that you think that we should consider adding inside the building or with the facility, you know, overall?
So this, this might help, because this is what I tried to summarize everything we've talked about that's listed in the grants.
Yeah.
You know, and so hopefully this will
thank you.
You know, make sense. Yeah, these are all the things which I pulled out of our scopes and cost estimates, and you know, and what was written in the narratives of the grants as far as what we have tried to include. We weren't very specific on the building facade. And, you know, I was going to talk to you about that tonight, but I think the rest of it, you know, is pretty self-explanatory.
What's the ADA?
Can you hear us, Tony? I'm sorry. Can
you hear us, Tony?
Just barely. I can't hear the audience.
Couldn't hear John.
You. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Perfect.
I can be closer to the mic if I need to be.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tony. So, essentially, what I just said is I put together a memo just summarizing all the scope items that we've talked about or costs estimated in the past and or was written in the grant applications. And that's kind of what we're looking at the moment. So you don't have this memo. I didn't send it to you. I can send it to you tomorrow. Because we're just discussing about what else we can include in this revised estimate that we're going to look to have done by the 12th. So you had a question.
I'm looking at the bottom, the side door walkway. How wide does it have to be for ADA compliance?
Generally 5 feet.
So that would make that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would suggest, if we're looking for things to add, that it wouldn't hurt us to add a tie-in if we're doing that walkway from this store out to the parking lot. Connecting that walkway to the community garden might also be a something we could add. I would segment them as part A and part B because the priority is different.
Are they going to keep going with the garden? Because last year they talked about ending it.
That's why I asked to put it on the agenda so we could talk about it. I was hoping maybe we could go out there, have the executive session, and come back in here, and then we've all at least been out. I don't know if anybody else has been out there. And I was just out there this weekend because Dave and I bought a bench and donated it. So we put it in the garden. There literally was nowhere to sit out there at all. Which reminds me of what I forgot to bring. But that might be one thing we could add. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why, honestly, but the DCD folks are throwing us a bone here. We have the opportunity to fill it in since we have an active application. And it doesn't hurt because we just don't do those aspects of the project if we don't get the funding, you know. I saw that there was a bucket in the hallway when I came in to sign for the AutoZone plans. Is there a leak in the roof?
Not that I know of.
Okay, so we don't know why
there's a bucket.
Garbage can was sitting in the middle of the hallway. I don't think it's there today. It was the other direction towards the garage.
I mean, I don't see any.
No, there's no leaks.
Any water stains or anything.
There's no leaks.
Okay.
I don't know why it was there.
All right.
There's no water stains I can see out there.
Was it a big garbage can or a little one?
It was a little one.
Well, maybe they've been taking the garbage out and forgot to put it back.
Maybe. Maybe.
Is the roof part of what has already been submitted?
The roof was part of the last application, and that's the only application it was part of.
And the building improvements that we previously discussed to the meeting room and the interior hall doors, that's all, that's we've already gotten a grant for that?
We got, so far, a total of $225,000. The first $100,000 was entirely for the parking lot, and the parking lot was the only thing on that application.
Right.
The second $125,000 was applications that included the parking lot, the walkway, the facade, the handicap button, the carpet, but not the roof. The roof didn't come on until the last round of applications we did last year.
Okay.
But, you know, in each round, it's not like we got 100% of the funding we requested.
No.
Right? So we got pieces of the funding, not enough to get all the way through. So it's possible we could get another award on May 20th, but I didn't get a positive impression of that. From my last discussion with our local legislators. And I know the program was oversubscribed, like 6-1. Statewide is where we've been more successful, but those applications are not gonna go, what she told me today was they're expecting it'll be September before those applications go. So in that case, if we're going forward with what we can do now, essentially, when we go to bid and we'll see how much money we get, we'll, you know, how much the bids are compared to how much money we have, and decide by priority which items to go forward with now and which items to hold back, right? Like the facade, for example, is not a priority, and that can just be held back. But if we got an award in September, then we could go forward with that part of the project. Right. So she wants us to identify an updated cost estimate, any additional items that, you know, could replace essentially the items that are being funded with the 125 that we got. And then we can have that application continue to move forward and have something that would be fundable in the event that we get an award through that application. And we have no guarantee we'll get anything through that application.
Right.
You're guaranteed the 225, though.
The
right?
225 is contracted and done. We have the actual contracts. I sent you the contract for the 100. Mm-hmm. Did you sign the 125?
Yes, online.
You signed it. Okay, did you download a copy?
No.
Okay, so, and neither did I. So, when they finish executing it internally at Harrisburg, which takes a couple of months for them to do, then they'll send us a fully executed copy. And we'll, but the conditions are generally the same as what it was in the 100.
Got it.
Has to be prevailing wage. All the contractors have to sign the non-discrimination, no harassment clauses. You have to bid it out. You have to do that in accordance with your normal bidding rules. All the kind of standard
language, yeah.
Using grant money language, right? Mm-hmm. Occasionally, they tweak the language in the harassment clause a little bit, but that's generally the only thing that changes. Yeah. The prevailing wage thresholds, don't really go up. The bidding threshold goes up a little itty bitty bit that won't matter for this. They will not, just so it's clear, they don't let you segment the project and use any grant money for it and not pay prevailing wage. So it's not like you can say, well, we'll do the carpet separate and not pay prevailing wage on the carpet because that little piece is under the limit. That's not how it works. They go by the whole grant amount. So to them, the project is everything you're paying for with the grant dollars, and all of that has to be done at prevailing wage. Mm-hmm. The equipment and the location for the ADA entrance. I don't know about the equipment. Do you know about the equipment? You're more versed in that sort of thing. I recall that you were one of the first people I ever heard of doing
ADA.
Well, I remember you doing the controls for operating a vehicle.
And houses. I did too. What equipment are you talking about?
To make the front door accessible for a person in the wheelchair by themselves.
It's the ADA entrance.
Yeah, so you do a paddle.
Yeah, he's saying, tell us what equipment and where.
Oh, well, I would put it just under the overhang by the post coming in and just have a push button.
Like a paddle.
Yeah, but it's got to be able to coincide with when building's closed, that it doesn't work.
Work, yeah.
That's all. They can put a relay in so that we can put an interior switch on it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it should work with the security system. When the security system's armed, that should not be working.
Agreed.
But they can actually tie into it once we do that.
So that answers the outside part. And it has to be obviously far enough away from the door that you don't have to get so close to it to hit the button that it bumps the wheelchair.
Well, I think if we mount it on one of the posts out there,
that's far enough away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then inside, same thing, it has to be far enough back.
I mean, we could also have it mounted on its own stanchion. Like they make yard stanchions, yeah. Where just basically for it. You
know, we have one at my office. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we.
I was just thinking if it's on the post or off the post, but a bracket off the post, that it would be protected with the roof over the entrance.
We could, but I mean, I've seen it both ways. So.
And in here, as far as in here, you're probably better off on the right wall on the way out.
Yep.
Leave that space open because that's where her window is. So just before that, if that's where the button was to open the door, that would be far close enough to get out and far enough back not to interfere with anything that we have in the hallways.
Interior
doors. Come on, Tanner.
Hi, Bill. Interior doorway.
So we had, we had plans, previously. I just kind of updated them a little bit to discuss with you guys tonight.
Okay.
So just, the first two sheets are just, what I'll eventually enhance to get to bid documents. But The C1 is just the site plan of the building, and then get into the, what's labeled A1 is really what I'll call the existing floor plan, that's the current configuration of the building as it is, and then what we had talked about previously was A2, so some of the things that I'm written there, which was to create that hallway to protect the employees, and also have that exit door from this meeting room to the exterior, which would be right behind where Shahana's sitting now.
The other thing I was thinking about that maybe we could add in, if I recall that the roof quote included gutters, but it didn't include like rain barrels or any kind of catch basin for the stormwater, and rain barrels might be helpful for the community garden.
I would only do one out in the back, because they'll end up getting all full and just flowing over. I don't think we have a lot of standing water on the property.
No.
No, it all ends up right where you have to walk.
That's the only standing water, the only standing water we have is where you walk in.
It's a low spot.
Which is paved.
Most of your soils are sandy, so.
Yeah.
A lot of what runs off will just infiltrate, and we can facilitate that, but when we redo the paving, is have a, like a trench just for the water to come and pond in and then infiltrate. But that'll be in like bid documents, but yeah. I mean, the problem with the walkways is it's just low.
It's just low, that's all.
Yeah.
And it's paved, that's why it holds the water.
It's low and it probably sank over time and that needs to be fixed, yeah. But rain barrels are good. It'll give them a mechanism to get water for the garden.
That's not chlorinated, yeah.
Yeah.
Now they probably go stagnant and becomes a mosquito haven.
They have lids on them, so they.
That's a stop mosquitoes.
I mean, it's a pretty common thing, so you can, they have designs to limit the stagnant issue, you know, make them a little bit more, but yeah.
If Kevin comes in, I think he has one for his building. You could ask him. I won't say speak of the devil. Speak of our favorite volunteer. We were just talking about rain barrels.
You shouldn't be here yet. Your name wasn't mentioned 3 times in a row.
Do you have a rain barrel at your building, right?
No.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
We did, but no, we don't.
Okay.
On the hallway.
Yep.
The doorway leaving the meeting room and the back door, they're going to be emergency exits only, right?
Yes.
Do we need the other doorway in the hall?
The other doorway in the hall.
A new doorway.
You're talking about this door right here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's.
That doorway is for us to exit this room.
Not that one.
Not that one. This one in the hall.
The one in the hall.
Two in the hall.
He's talking about the.
There's one from the entrance, which I understand, but.
You're on the wrong one.
But this one here.
A2 shows it, right here.
Yeah. We could get rid of that if.
Oh, I see what it is. Okay. So it's the second layer of separation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that I would say about that is that if you do have people leaving out this door, like let's say we had a big group in here and we were letting people leave through that door, It would prevent him from going into the office.
That would be.
Well, that's not an emergency exit then. I thought we were just going to keep it as an emergency exit.
What, side door?
Yeah.
That's all that's going to be. Emergency exit only.
That's what I'm saying. It should be locked all the time.
Yeah.
And only used for emergency exit.
Well, I was imagining you could do a panic bar, right?
Right.
Which is just a push bar. It can be locked all the time, but you.
Right, panic bar.
You can exit anytime you want.
Same thing with this one.
I mean, if you did have some people, like a big room, and you wanted to let them go, you would be able to do that without unlocking the door if we did panic bars.
If the door is there, would it be convenient for you, Shauna, to be able to go out there and in your office to be able to come back without having to go around? Especially when there's going to be another door out there?
Well, then that would be without the door I'm talking about. But if the door I'm talking about is in there, then she's got to open that door too.
Unless it's open during the meeting. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't matter to me either way.
It's not a big project, so leave it in.
No, but you're talking probably $1,000 for that door.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That was on his list was...
If he can get away with $1,000.
Was door selection. Material, whether there be a window, hardware finish.
So a lot of the, your doors are pretty simple. So, I mean, if we're doing it for security purposes, I would probably do metal doors.
But I'd like to have a viewing glass in it. This way, before anybody goes through it, they can see that nobody's on the other side.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. It's just, the door out there, which is going to be this door, and that that can be a solid door.
That can be solid.
Yeah. Right, because it's just going to be essentially an emergency exit, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The other doors could have glass in them just for...
a heavy glass.
Yeah.
Something that somebody couldn't just break and open the door. So, see what the doors would cost, but if we're getting grant money to do it and we got enough money to do it, that could be like one of the things we eliminate if we have to.
Sure. That extra door.
Yeah. Because the extra door wouldn't be an automatic closing door. It'd be a locked door. So she could open it and walk in and out, like you said.
Yeah.
But if we don't have enough money to do that, this one's the most important one to me.
Yeah.
And this one.
Yeah, I think these two doors here, right, going out there, and then obviously there, and probably this one, right, to prevent people from.
Yeah. That one's a definite, because I see it all the time. She'll be in the office working, and people just walk into her office.
So I think that one's critical.
Especially Mike.
These ones here. this one's optional. But I think we can include it.
Include it, and if the funding isn't there for it, that could be one of the things we eliminate for now, and we could always reapply for something later.
The doors for Mike's office and where your office is, are those doors solid wood ones like the ladies' room door?
These doors are pretty...
I never checked.
They're pretty hollow.
They're all
hollow core. These are not very secure doors.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If we're adding things in, changing out those doors don't have much of a security feature for them. They can't see who's on the other side if they keep the doors shut, and they're not in any way not directly accessible to the public.
Yeah, these are, all your doors are, you're not going to stop a raging lunatic. They're going to kick these doors in.
Because we never close the doors when we have a meeting anyway.
Yeah, they're just hollow core doors.
These doors, yeah. I'm talking about Mike in his office. If he's in his office and someone walks in, he's this plan doesn't have any
protection.
Anything other than the security feature. So in the security program that was on there, I think it was $15,000. I don't have a good sense of, I would assume that what we were talking about, if memory serves me, was panic buttons.
As far as whether the doors are solid or hollow, I don't think it really makes a difference.
I mean, you have a pretty good
view. Having a viewing window, like you
that
said.
That makes a difference, yeah.
Well, you know, so you can see what's coming if you have the door shut.
The current door that's out there, does that get used much?
No.
No.
Nobody ever uses it?
No reason to. The only time we ever used it was to go out and see if they were there working on the garden. Or to work on the generator.
Okay, so
it's 7 o'clock, so I'm trying
to call the meeting.
Okay.
Call the meeting in the Milford Township Supervisor's order. We'll pledge allegiance to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I like that facade you do, no?
I'm sorry?
The other one. I'm sorry.
I like the facade you do.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I do too.
And the bushes definitely got to get cut down. You can't even see out the window.
Yeah. I'll see if I can get Aaron to trim them, because he knows what he's doing. He trimmed them last time.
Yeah.
No, didn't charge us. That tree out there, it's about half dead. I don't know whether we should take it all down.
That tree?
This one?
Or this one?
The one out there.
Yeah. Wow. I don't think we can trim it to make it look halfway decent. I think because one whole half to the left is dead. So we took dead bridge out there and everything to the right probably fall down.
I was looking at that today. Who are you going to get to trim the bushes? Aaron?
Aaron.
Ask him to look at that. See what he thinks. He deals with them enough.
Yeah, I think that tree's beyond repair. I think it's an old cherry tree. These out here were supposed to be all dead by now.
Pure young guy. Yeah, I'm getting too old for this. Yeah.
Ones in the burrow all died.
It's easier to point.
These were playing the same time the burrow did. Theirs all died. Now we're just still. Okay, approval of meeting minutes from April 6th.
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed.
Did you have a change, Bob?
No.
Okay. Aye.
No, I've got to move before the meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
Okay. Since the last meeting, I received $534.70 from zoning, $1,650 from sewage, $175,933 from real estate tax, $31,551.40 from ambulance tax, and $2,816.29 from the first quarter delinquent tax. And that's all.
You want to do that executive session now, or we wait for this, for this one?
Yeah, well, why don't we go through what we can go through and let John go so we don't have to keep him
okay.
Here.
Okay. And the salt bid, we got to continue to 7:15.
Okay.
So, approval to transfer $10,000 of Pledgett General to the MBT. I'll make a motion we transfer that money.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So approved. Zoning.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Zoning officer.
Yeah, it's starting to pick up a little bit now with the warmer weather. AutoZone's done through zoning, I believe Joe has got the building side of it done as well. And that's really most of it.
We're still waiting for what, the Pike County? Any DPS permit and stuff?
I'm not sure what they're waiting on. I thought that was all.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely still waiting on that.
I'm sure they're waiting on
that. Yeah, that don't happen
quick. Is
this
AutoZone?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're waiting on
it. I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
they're going to probably be.
I don't see that. That they usually take 4 to 6 months at a minimum.
Based on where they were at, it's probably going to be about 6 months, and that's even if they were on top of their game.
Yeah.
That's a year-long process to try to get those permits.
They went to, they're not supposed to be more than 107 days. Why 107? I don't know. They came up with 107 for NPDES permits. But what's been happening is they just say, well, it's not complete. And that starts the clock again. Hmm.
Otherwise, they have to give you your money back if you ask for your money back if you're late.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not what anybody wants. Everybody wants their permit.
Give me my permit.
Did they go in perhaps before? Can they submit for the NPDES before they have the land development approval?
Yeah,
so they probably were in before.
They didn't. He said they already applied for it. But
right.
It's still going to be time consuming.
Yeah.
They so they did their pre-meeting with the Conservation District, who's but the resident engineer is not there any longer, so it has to now go back to Wilkes-Barre. So it's got to go back. And so anyway, they had done that in January. So I don't know if they got their completed application in until just recently. So if the clock is just starting, it's going to be all 3 to 6 months minimum.
Okay. Tony, you're on, right?
I am on, yes.
Okay. Did you get a copy of the HLP letter today?
I did see that letter. And that's something that you're going to have to have executed, but I don't know that you can do that this evening.
No, I wanted mainly to look at it to make sure it was written properly, because I don't sign stuff that other people write.
All right.
Unless it's written properly.
What HOP letter are we talking about?
Yeah.
It's, they're using the same entrance, that I do know, as Dollar General. But with their HOP application going through there, they're going to have some work that they're going to be doing along the road, side of the road there. And that's what they put in for. And that's why I wanted them to take a look at it.
I think, to summarize the work that I saw in the application, there's gravel there now. They want to take the gravel out and replace it with dirt so that they can do their plantings.
Right. Where the existing driveway is.
Right.
Where it's really wide and it's all gravel. They want to take
is
all that.
Is that here or where?
Yeah, we're right next door.
Well, we would have nothing to do with that.
Anyway. No, we got to give, because it's going to be done on the roadside,
mm-hmm.
we got to give acknowledgement that we know about
acknowledgement.
It.
Acknowledge that we know about it.
Yeah, because
that's all. We're just acknowledging that we know about it. That's, and that's what they want to do. They want to.
I mean, whatever letter you're talking about, I've never seen any of this, Rachel.
Right.
Oh, it came in earlier today, and I just told her to send it right to Tony, because...
Yeah, I just got it 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Probably needs to go to John, does it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would suggest
I wasn't looking to act on it tonight. I just wanted him to review it first, because they wrote the acknowledgement for us.
Well, I understand that.
I think it's the standard letter.
Well, I wanted to make sure.
It's a PennDOT letter.
Yeah, it's the PennDOT letter. But I feel better if John went there.
Even got involved with it, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what they want to do, take a little... Where everybody's parking out there now in front of the... The blue building that used to be the inn at the edge of the forest. Mm-hmm. They want to tear all that out, but grass.
Who wants to do that?
AutoZone.
AutoZone?
Yeah.
Anything else on their zoning?
Nope, that's it.
Public participation.
Can I just ask if there's been any follow-up on the complaints that came in? What's the status?
Tony, I thought Tony had talked to you about it. Home-based businesses are allowed. We have the minor impact statement in our ordinance, which doesn't appear in the municipal planning code. So we're not in line with them, which is something we need to change. But he has since moved that operation into the borough.
Right, he has a borough office now.
So.
Okay. Home-based businesses are allowed if they don't impact the neighborhood.
Doesn't say that. It says minor impact.
You mean in our ordinance?
Right.
Well, we have in our ordinance minor impact, which we shouldn't have.
Right.
I don't know that having a tractor trailer, you know, on a little road like Pine.
Hi.